mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like...
It's my favorite kind of day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's a 5-pound, 10-pound day. 10 pounds of stuff, 5 pounds of real estate. We're going to try to get it all in. We got Skeens. We got The Miz. We got the NBA draft. We got Chewy test-tasting his ketchup because he declared, was it last week?
Yeah, last week.
About a week ago.
This one's your beloved.
That's your guy.
You think you can...
Once I nail that one, it's over.
Then it's over?
You think the other ones are all going to fall into place? Chewy is doing a ketchup taste test today here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We also
good old
have
rolled
Adam
gold.
Schefter.
I've had that.
Rolled gold, or red gold, excuse me. Red gold, folds of honor, you know, a little, you know, supporting the troops there. Hunts. How you feel about Hunts?
Yeah, I had it. Okay. Can I see the receipt?
Why do you want to see the receipt?
I just want to see the receipt.
The prices.
I mean, the receipt's not in the bag. I threw the receipt out. I don't know what you want me to do. Some organic ketchup. Organic ketchup.
What is organic ketchup?
That's a great question. I was thinking the exact same thing. How
is it
does
just
one
so you
make...
don't put fertilizer
and
in
then,
it? And it's
and then Kroger original, just the basic of
standard
basic.
Standard barbecue ketchup. Can you do me a favor and pull up the organic ketchup?
Okay.
What is the difference between the ingredients on the organic ketchup and the regular ketchup? Is it organically grown tomatoes?
Organic tomato concentrate. Organic sugar, organic vinegar, salt, organic spices, organic onion powder.
This might come as a shock to some of you. The parameters to call things organic are quite thin.
Yes.
What?
Organic spices?
I believe Morgan Spurlock did when they were talking about the Super Size Me 2. For something to be like considered like pasture raised, they have to get like 30 minutes a day in a pasture. Like it's the requirements to call yourself those things are.
Is it a scam?
Yes, largely that's what.
So
I'm trying
it's
to
like
tell you.
Hey, you made the Pro Bowl, but I was a seventh alternate. Yeah, great, you really did. Sure.
I also love that is your baseline. Scam.
I got yeah, like it. Nothing bothers
scam,
me more.
You go
nothing
to
bothers
Pro Bowl.
Me more. Yes.
I thought you said pasteurized. You said pasture raised.
Yes.
The distinction.
Yes, the very like, different processes.
Are we pasteurizing ketchup now? That seems unnecessary. So we've got the ketchup contest going on today as well. Lots of stuff to get to, but I want to begin here, guys. We talked a lot yesterday about Joshy's package. Wait, hold. We talked a lot yesterday.
I wasn't. All right, I'll leave it alone.
About the
don't
package.
Worry. Your turn's coming next.
Yeah.
We're not only just your package. We're going to be talking
three
about
three packages.
Yeah, we're talking about your neighbor's package.
You're a medical marvel, my friend. So yesterday we talked a lot about the package that UPS left on a neighbor's porch. They took it inside. They have not returned it. I assume, Joshy, there is no update there. There's
none.
Still have not. Even the threat of being talked about on the radio, even well, the reality of being talked about on the radio was not enough to shame the neighbors into returning the package. And so yesterday, all of a sudden, we get a little ding in our group text chain. And Chewy, you sent us a photograph of what?
Yeah. So I go to the lake house because my wife texted me that we had an Amazon, just a tiny one, one of the envelopes, because I got a windsock for one of the flagpoles. I like to know which direction the wind's blowing. Little package, so they take a picture of it and put it right next to the garage, because the garage is detached from the house.
Pretty standard.
So I show up, three huge Amazon boxes.
Did you think that your wife had ordered something
so
without you?
Immediately where I went.
All right.
Immediately where I went, and I'm like, what the hell did she order now? So I go over there, and my little package,
is
behind the boxes, which they took the picture of. So then I look at the big packages, three different names, three different addresses, and I'm like, I'm like, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. Because I was talking to Gabe earlier. I know my two neighbors on each side, right? Now, I know other people on the lake, but there's like 3,000 houses on the lake.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the lake, yeah.
So, yeah, don't know any of the names, don't know any of the addresses. Here's the deal, Amazon. You have till Saturday to come get them, or I open them and then I throw them away. I don't work for you. This was clearly a, I don't know where these houses are. I don't give a crap. I'm just going to leave them here.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with you specifically. It has everything to do with this Amazon driver, maybe at the end of his shift, deciding...
Quiet quitting?
Bleep it.
Yeah.
No, this isn't very quiet, Jen. This was pretty loud, just washing your hands of whatever's left in the truck, leaving in front of your house and deciding, I'm done for the day.
What would you guys do?
Well, that's not, first, what I would do is not what you're going to do. I would stick him in my car. I'd put the addresses that are on the packages in the GPS, and I would drive them to the houses and drop them
big
off.
Big boxes, moderately heavy.
Yeah, get a little workout in.
I don't have time.
You have all the time.
Nothing.
Are you kidding me?
Like, are the streets even the same? Like, do you have any idea?
Lake Drive goes around the whole game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, are they all on Lake Drive, or at least are there other ones that are mixed in?
I didn't
in?
Even look.
Okay.
I just saw that they weren't mine, and I'm like, I ain't doing it.
Do you believe in karma?
This isn't karma.
No, but do you believe in karma?
Yeah. What comes around goes around, Charleneism?
Yeah.
My mother? Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost.
They're related.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay. They're related.
So the idea of you take 20 minutes and you put some good karma out there into the universe doesn't attract you at all. They're not interested at all.
What my client is interested in is just avoiding the bad karma. That's all he wants. That's all he wants to do. Doesn't care about the good karma, just wants to avoid the bad karma.
Yeah.
We're not trying to acquire good karma.
No.
We're just trying to avoid the bad karma.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is not my job. When I pay someone to perform a job, I expect them to do it as if I would do it. When I cut my in-laws' lawn, I cut it exactly like I'd cut my lawn. Stripe it, everything. I don't go there and I'm like, oh, I'll just go in circles because it's quicker. That's how I operate.
Are you paying the Amazon delivery guy?
Paying him.
Yeah.
Indirectly, we are.
Yeah.
How?
Sure.
By ordering packages from Amazon.
Yeah. There's a delivery fee in there. They're gouging. Amazon famously aren't putting
no up delivery fees.
Well, if you have Prime. If I don't have Prime, now I am paying the guy?
I don't think, again, this is out of my depth a little bit, I will admit it, but I don't think those Amazon drivers are making a lot of money.
No, they're famously not.
They make a pittance.
And I was going to rain on the parade here a little bit. These people are oftentimes peeing in their vehicles, working in extremely hot conditions. And if they aren't delivering in enough speed, they are also reprimanded, sometimes fired. So not to give an excuse, but I can easily see how I can't find these houses. And if I don't deliver these packages within the next 10 minutes, I'm in trouble, and
so
I'm going
my
to be...
problem.
No.
You have a crappy job.
Not what I
go
said.
To school and get a better job.
Okay, well, that's rather dismissive.
You know.
Well, I know. I mean,
here's the thing. I can feel Chewy's frustration because those packages are going to sit there, and they're sort of on his proverbial plate. Right? He's trying to say they're not my responsibility, but the more that they sit there and he sees them, I can feel it, Chew. They're nagging. It's nagging you, right? The packages are nagging you.
Yeah, they'll sit there till Saturday. I mean, I got to go out there today. I'll see if they're still there. You know, my guess is the people who purchased them are looking at their picture going, where the hell is that?
Who the hell's house is
yeah.
that?
Yeah. You know,
because you said that they only took. So when they took the picture of your package,
yes.
And then after that picture was taken,
put them down.
The larger packages came in.
Exactly what he was doing. Exactly.
So yeah, I'm curious if he even took pictures of the other ones, or if he just dumped them and decided that's it for me.
Not my problem.
Folks weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line already this morning. Sherry in the 262 says, Chewy, what if this was your package at someone else's house? What would you want that person to do?
Well, Amazon would refund me. It's Amazon's problem, not mine. Amazon isn't putting up all these huge distribution centers because they're not making money.
Oh, they are making money.
Yeah.
Hand over fist. I've been watching picture. I've been watching videos of Jeff Bezos and his fiance having a foam party on their $500 million yacht.
Yeah, and just think, Bezos lost like half of his worth too in the previous divorce. But also, so what if you recognized one of your neighbors?
Then I would, yes.
Then you just walk over there and get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But after that, because again, like, you live out on the lake. It's pretty spread out over there.
Yeah.
It's not like Joshy's situation where it's like, oh, something got delivered around the block, something that he walks to quite frequently.
Yeah, no, if I recognize the name, then I, of course.
Yeah,
I
if it's a friend of yours, you would deliver. Yeah.
Also, it feels like maybe this is a PSA right here on Jen, Game, and Chewy this morning. If you live on the lake and you're missing some packages, they're at Chew's house.
Drive down there. They're right out in front of the garage. You can't miss them.
Can't miss them.
Huge. They're right there. Would all you guys search it out?
But again, because
I can't believe you're sitting here going to around it. You drive people.
Well, no, what
airport.
I'm saying is it's easier, I think, for like me and Joshy living in the city, like because everything's just a lot more condensed. Like it's going to be if a package gets delivered to my house, like chances are it's going to be within a block radius where I'm going to have to take it.
As
that's not
through Joshy's situation.
That's not going to be the case for you because, as you mentioned, like Lake Drive goes all around the lake.
Yeah.
So, like, you could have to literally go miles.
And the numbers weren't even close.
Wait, but again, forgive me while I push back on this, Gabe.
Yeah.
Even if you lived at the lake, you, the nice guy, the good guy who believes in karma, who appreciates, you know, getting karma, I think you would drive around the lake and drop them off.
I'd throw it in the lake and hope it floats over.
You would not! That is the biggest bunch of bull honky that's ever been said on this show, and that is saying a lot.
Just trying to give Chew ideas.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little discus toss into the lake, see if it gets to where it's going.
Do you have a dinghy? Do you have a little dinghy? You could put him on the dinghy, push him out into the lake, and then it could be
cast
like
away?
A...
Yeah. Maybe one's Wilson. I don't know.
No, it's like a message in a bottle. If it gets where it gets, it was meant to be.
But also, like, it could be a little, like, Hunger Games / Squid Games for the people on the lake. Right? You know, I'm missing a package. Oh, yeah, Chewy. He sent it out into the dinghy.
I would think most people would be like, in 50-50, my camp?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing more people are like you. Because, again, we have the example of Josh, somebody just taking whatever. Like, the last time I had a package that went missing and I had to go through the process of getting something refunded, got it refunded, and then it eventually just showed up on my door. I have no idea where it got delivered. I think like one person put it on somebody else's porch and it wasn't theirs. And that person was kind enough to bring it to mine.
Yeah.
I'm guessing more people are like you and like, bleep it. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I can't deal with this. This is Amazon or UPS or FedEx's fault.
I mean, Amazon doesn't even make it easy. Is there a number you call or you got to sit there on hold for an hour and tell them, yeah, you delivered these three monster packages.
No, you always, it's all... Just online, you file your claim.
It's pretty simple.
I mean, and like you said,
I don't totally know the process for these don't belong to me and they're nobody's in the houses. I don't fully know that process. And especially where you live, like out by me, it's more common to see an Amazon truck. It's potential you were given it from FedEx or UPS or whatever.
No, Josh? I'm pretty sure. Why, could you tell or no? No, because it has the swoosh on them.
Well, that's the packaging.
Yeah. But the delivery method, sometimes, like there's an, I see an Amazon truck drive through, but sometimes Amazon uses FedEx or UPS.
Or even just people driving their own vehicles.
Correct.
Now, I think they've gotten to that point. Joshy, you mentioned that the Amazon driver might have been on a time crunch.
Yep.
And, you know, with the parameters that we believe exist for some of these drivers, his thought was, if I just leave them here, I'll be back on time and I'll be able to, you know, potentially keep my job. If he calls and complains, not calls, if he logs in and fills out, like you guys were saying, the complaint form or the, what do you call those? It's not a grievance. It's like a dispute.
It would be just like a missed delivery.
Yeah, if you fill that out, does the guy run the risk of getting fired?
I would imagine there is if it's like a repeat offense, but there's going to be mistakes. Everyone understands that to a certain degree, right?
but just dumping three packages on somebody's outside of somebody's garage
that
don't belong
really
there.
Just really bad luck by that driver, by the way, that it was Chewy's house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because, like, yeah. Again,
really
like if,
bad luck.
If it's just one package or like three packages and they got the address wrong and the address on the three packages that aren't yours are all the same.
Sure.
But it's three different packages, three different addresses. This is very clearly somebody just dumping their bucket.
You also need to factor in the fact that Amazon isn't going to invest a lot of time and money into figuring out what went wrong. Oftentimes, if you try and return stuff through Amazon, they'll just say, just keep it. That's a big response you get for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it costs them more money to bring it back, repackage it, and ship it out again than it is to just say, just have it. We're done with it. We'll move
but
on.
But they zipped my package. They zipped my package.
What do you mean? Zipped it.
Well, they got to do the little beep. And then put it down so they knew
your address.
My name and my place. Yeah. And they knew the other ones didn't. Nothing matched up.
Yeah, correct.
Were they all together or separate? Like
they were all stacked on one another.
This is somebody who had the bleep-its.
Yeah.
They were just done with they were done for the day.
Now, if
we've all reached that point.
I will
point.
Say this. If all the three were one address, then I'd probably do it. I ain't covering this guy. I don't even know the guy. Probably Bears fan or something like that. I ain't covering
his ass. The thing that separates, I think, you from me and probably the other two as well. I would at least investigate where they are because I'd be so curious. Like, is this on the other side of the lake or is this three houses down? Like, my curiosity would take over. I'm not saying I would drive to every single house and take 30 minutes out of my day to do it.
You don't know, Josh, because the addresses are in 7645 W948241 Lake Drive. Like,
also probably great. For some of the reason he struggled.
It's not just four numbers, right?
Yeah.
Like, 1234 Lake Drive. 1235 Lake Drive. Right. No, we're talking about a very complex system that you guys have out there in Lake Country, which,
to
be perfectly honest, baffled me when we came out to visit you for the party. I was like, what?
I know, isn't it?
It's four houses down, three houses? Where are we?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now we're all warmed up. We got our stretch in so we can talk about all of the things going on today. Ms. V. Skeens out at AmFam, I assume, Gabe, based on your attire, that you are headed out to the ballpark this afternoon.
No.
Oh, yeah, of course. You're going to go straight there? You're going to go right from here to there?
I mean, the ballpark doesn't open at 9, but if it did...
Go to Topgolf. Or
X-Golf.
X-Golf. There, I was close.
And they appreciate it.
75%.
We will talk about Ms. V. Skeens at AmFam Field right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid? What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Talking about Aaron Rodgers here in the break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will get to that conversation as the show goes on. Again, a 10-pound, 5-pound day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I want to get to Ms. V. Skeens immediately. So you got the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, and you got Paul Skeens, who are going to be dueling today at AmFam Field. And Joshy was kind enough to go over to our friends at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and give us some of the bets that you can make on these two guys. Before we get to those, though, I don't know that there has been a more highly anticipated, exciting regular season game at AmFam Field in years.
Yeah.
I mean, how far back do you need to go before you're like, this is a must see, must attend, take the day, or at the very least, block out your calendar, your work calendar, your Outlook calendar from 1 o'clock until 3 o'clock today so you can catch these two on the hill at AmFam Field.
CeCe?
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, because
he was on that tail. Mm-hmm.
Every CeCe start was appointment because literally he would take the mound and he was on no-hit watch.
Yeah.
Almost got one too.
I
got really close.
Watch.
Yeah, well, he was, I mean, that was just a given toward the end. Like, he was just going to go all nine, but... Like, something special was going to happen, yeah. So probably since 2008, And when, because CC was that special?
Like, thinking of non-playoff games, where does 160, and I know it wasn't an AmFam, but game 163, that feels
yeah.
Is that technically the postseason, or is that still regular
technically
season?
Technically, that was a regular season
game. And that's, 2017? You're talking about 2018, and that was Cubs v. Brewers, 163. That was a big deal. You know where I was? I was in California at an ESPN event watching it on my phone like this. Oh, we're at a conference? Okay, well, cool, but I got to pay attention to this baseball game. So some of the bets that you can place on this game today, I guess I would stay away from the outcome, like the money line, who's going to win the game, because once these two are out, you never know what's going to happen with the bullpen. The Brewers' bullpen has been really good, but like you just, to me, it's a crapshoot. To me, the excitement is not necessarily who wins or loses the game. To me, the excitement is watching these two elite pitchers do battle out there on the mound. So, total runs over 6.5, -115, under 6.5, -106. Joshy, you're our gambling guy here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You have a preference of which way you would lean on that one?
Sorry, repeat it.
Over under. Total runs.
I, with games like this and pitchers that are this highly heralded, I usually go against the grain here. As much as we all think it's going to be low scoring, I like to kind of push against the public. And I would like the over, because I also think, I doubt both of these guys go remarkably deep into the games. Now, they're both certainly capable of it with the way they can mow down pitchers, hitters. But I would try and find the over for the long run, because I think once you get into those bullpens, there's a better chance for it. You open up a bunch of potential. If I am looking to hit any of the unders, it's the first five, where I can almost guarantee both those guys are going to go at least five innings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of where I would try and seek out the unders on those, and trying to play into, yeah, these guys are going to be out there and they're going to dominate the game. I mean, Levering said it with us earlier this week, where it's going to be a race to one. I think it'll be a little bit higher than that, but I don't expect there to be, especially with how bad the Pirates' offense is.
Gabe, you like the strikeouts that we got here on the sheet? Miz strikeouts over 5.5, -134, under 5.5, +102.
I mean, he hasn't been like, I mean, he hasn't hit high strikeout numbers. I mean, he certainly, it's been around one an inning is kind of what he's been able to do. Again, the over, the value's not on the over. That's the problem. Like, it's so enticing because, as Joshy said, this Pirates offense
stinks.
It's very bad. They struck out 11 times last night. Freddie Peralta on the mound. And Freddie, you know, he's, you know, still had, he had his 8 strikeouts in 5 innings. It's just such a bad offense. Even if I think that Miz, because his career high for pitches in a game, or season high for pitches in a game this year, is 97. It's not like he's going to go deep into this game throwing 110 pitches. They're going to keep that, you know. But if he throws 5 innings, like, I feel good about him getting 6 strikeouts. That's the problem. It seems like it's a stay away. The Skeens over 7.5 strikeouts. Now that seems enticing. +120. Because he has been so good all season long.
The pressure's
he's
on.
Been the best pitcher in baseball.
The pressure's on Miz, though. Because Skeens has already arrived. Right?
Yeah, because he was Rookie of the Year.
Does that matter? Because in football, I'm trying to think of two young quarterbacks going head-to-head. Maybe one guy's a year younger.
Like Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love. Can you make that comp from last year?
Would that be a good comp? Who would be the favorite?
The problem there is Jaden Daniels is probably better than Jordan Love. And Jaden Daniels would be Mizorowski in that comparison.
Right, is that okay? I mean, Jordan Love was in the league. He had that torrent stretch, and then he wins the playoff game.
Like, is there a fear of Miz trying to do too much? Because he's like, Skeens, I got to show him up here.
I literally do not have that fear with that guy. Like, for some players, sure. But it seems like he is just so much into his world and what he does.
Well, young, dumb, and full of shaving cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, how much more juiced up can you get when you're throwing 102 on any given day?
When you're reaching back and pitch number one is coming triple digits.
Yeah,
looking at the gun, that was 107. That wasn't 103. Come on.
We will be continue talking about this game this morning. We do have to get to Adam Schefter, but how excited are you about Miz v. Skeens out at AmFam Field today? Will you be going to the game? Will you be watching the game? Will you be listening to the game while you're at work? Just curious what the number of people, what the population of people who are going to be tuning into this game are, because again, we can't think of another game in the last, it sounds like decade, right? At least, you said 2008. So.
Yeah.
So long on that.
Almost two decades.
Wow.
That we have been this excited for a regular season matchup at AmFam Field. Let us know, 800-990-3776. Adam Schefter joining the show right after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
I would just say that right now I think all options are on the table. I think that they went through that trade thing and they talked to teams. And it's not like those talks are shut down, but they didn't go anywhere. And when they don't go anywhere, it opens up the possibility that they could be back.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Adam Schefter time here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam. How you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. How we doing?
We are good. Chewy's got his ketchup taste test today. Not sure if you caught wind of this, but Chewy is very, very confident in his ability to identify the differences between ketchups. Adam, how confident are you in our guy's ability to identify different ketchups?
As confident as he is, I'm sure Chewy feels that strongly about it. What is this for?
All right, well, here's the thing, Adam. See, I, you know, Heinz is the GOAT, right? It's the GOAT. Yeah. So my wife has a little Sicilian cheapness in her, so she doesn't like to go with the GOAT. She likes to go with the kinds that separate if they stay in the fridge long enough. You know, you could see the oil and whatever else goes into it. So I said,
My wife doesn't have any of that Sicilian blood in her.
Yeah. So I said, I can nail it because I think ketchup's one of the condiments you can't skimp on ketchup. So we're going to put it to a little taste
nobody's
test.
Sponsoring this. Nobody's paying you.
No.
This is just a.
No, Chewy made a claim.
Experiment.
Yeah. Chewy made a claim and we wanted to, because you know, Adam, the thing about the big guy is, and we love him to death. Like I love the big guy. He says a lot of things and very rarely does he back up those things. So now we want to force him into a situation where he has to back up what he said.
Yeah. Well, I have confidence that that's what a Boston college education will do for you. It'll allow you to discern the difference between Heinz and, you know, the no frills, you know, no brand name ketchup. Like if that's what it takes. And Chewy, how many years you been married for now?
Be 15.
15. 15 years of saving some shekels. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's been able to, you know, he's got a discerning palate right now.
Well, I want to put you to the same test. Okay. When it comes to quarterbacks, I know Aaron Rodgers is your fourth favorite. Give me your three favorite quarterbacks of all time who you covered.
Well, hold on. Who said that Aaron Rodgers is my fourth favorite?
I made that up.
See what I'm talking about, Adam? See what I'm talking about?
I can't believe you even had to ask that question, Adam. We all knew where that fact came from.
I will say this. I will say Aaron Rodgers and Dan Marino are the most gifted throwers of the football that I've ever seen in my 35 years of covering the National Football League. The way that they both threw was special, like memorable, like pretty incredible.
Like I'll give you my top three, Adam. Adam, my top three is obviously number four, and then Jim Kelly, and Steve Young. Absolutely love those guys.
Shocking that they all came from your era.
Yeah, but Adam, who are your top three guys to cover? Guys you hung with?
Well, okay. Are we talking quarterback like ratings, or are we talking about like my own personal
personal experience with the guys? You know what, he is a really good dude.
I'm going to go John Elway one, just because I've had so many experiences with John, and I feel like he helped professionally raise me. So I have to defer to John. I'll give the second slot to Steve Young. And I mean, the time that I spent with him on Monday Night Countdown, I love that guy. He's
a great dude.
He's awesome. And I'm going to make my third favorite quarterback a tie. And I'm just going to say, and by the way, both Boston College, the Hasselbeck brothers together. Yeah. How about that?
Those are my guys too. Yeah, they're great.
Matt and Tim together. I love them.
Yeah.
And, I just want to
be clear. There's nobody that I love making fun of more than Tim on air. Like nobody. Like even we were doing SportsCenter a couple of weeks ago, and he's talking about how you know some of these Browns quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders and Dillon Gabriel, they'll be standing off to the side, you know, and they'll when we don't have to pay much attention to whether they'll start until they're actually taking reps with the ones. They're standing off to the side, and he came back to me and I said something to the effect of, look, nobody knows more about standing off to the side as a quarterback than Tim Hasselbeck. You know, it's like, so it's just, those guys are great guys and they're great people. So I'll make them the third. And obviously that's a very personal list just because all the quarterbacks I listed, I've had extensive personal interactions mm-hmm. with. So, I've met a lot of quarterbacks. You know, I got to tell you something. Like, Peyton Manning is unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, some of the interactions we've had through the years. And Tom Brady is as good a person, truly, as I've encountered. So it's hard to leave them off the list now that I start thinking about this and go through the list of quarterbacks in my mind. Both those guys, like, you want to hear an amazing Tom Brady story?
Yeah.
I didn't tell this in my podcast that I meant to. But when my daughter was, she had done the ESPYs, I guess she was probably 6-7 years old. It was the first time. And it went very well, so much so that they're like, we should do this again. Let's send Dillon to an NFL preseason game and have her interview players after. And they asked for New England. So she had to be 7 years old. She's 16. So this had to be 9-10 years ago. And after the game, I'll never forget, we went to Detroit, she and I, to meet the Patriots. They were playing the Lions that night. And in the first quarter, Julian Edelman tore his ACL in the game. It was devastating. You could imagine what it would be like. And I'm thinking to myself, Dillon has no idea. Oh, my God. We got to go down to this postgame locker room for these interviews that are set up afterwards with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Oh, boy. And Julian Edelman just tore his ACL. We go down, and the video highlights still live online. They're incredible. They were both awesome, Bill and Tom. Tom could not have been more engaging and genuine and spoke to her and us for 15 minutes, hugs for her, like awesome. Well, this past Friday, I went to Fanatics Fest in New York City. Tom Brady was there. I had Dillon with me. I go over to Tom. I have Dillon. He goes, like, Dillon, don't you remember? You interviewed me in Detroit. Like, he remembered it. He remembered the details.
Wow.
Like, that is that. And she's like, you told him to say that. I'm like, I didn't tell him to say anything. You know, it was incredible. That speaks to the kind of person he is. And I've been at, like, a Best Buddies event where Tom makes all the special attendees there feel so important. Like, I've watched it. I've seen it. And it's real. And genuine. And he's a great dude.
Adam, in the NBA Finals with yet another Achilles unfortunately being torn from Tyrese Halliburton, like the chatter right now around the NBA is, okay, do they have to shorten the season? Players have to work harder. They're running more. They're putting so much stress on the ligaments, on the joints. And maybe that's why we saw three superstars tear their Achilles during this NBA postseason. Does the NFL consider that larger landscape at all as they push for an 18th game, or are they just off in their own little world? And obviously both. The NFL world's a pretty big
both.
World.
I think the answer is both. I think they do consider the injury data, but I also think that they're also determined to come up with the 18 games. And I think that if there were some injury data that said to them, this is treacherous and dangerous beyond words, I don't think they do it. But I don't think any of the data has suggested to them something that extreme and significant. And so therefore, they'll continue plowing ahead and moving forward with the 18-game schedule that the league would love to implement.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does each and every Wednesday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Adam, what did you make of this sort of explosive claim, this explosive, you know, podcast that Pablo Torre has done, that Mike Florio has been in on, which essentially is alluding to collusion from the league? Now, it sounds like the teams, to their credit, did not collude, but that there was this suggestion of collusion. That is the claim. That those are the allegations. This has all been, it's in a lengthy podcast that these guys have done. And there was a grievance that they have talked about. What was your reaction to that development?
From a legal perspective, I think it's very interesting. The arbiter ruled that the teams didn't collude, but presented evidence that there was collusion. So in the end, it's a net sum zero game, I guess, where nothing's proven and the teams are not guilty, even though it's in. I think what's interesting about it is just to see a peek behind the curtain of how this world operates. So, again, we're going to go by what the arbiter said. No collusion. That was his ruling. That was the final ruling. But it certainly looked like teams were engaged in shady practices, interesting messages, all sorts of things like that. But what comes of it? I mean, what comes out of that now? You tell me.
Adam, I'm just throwing this out here because I'm curious, but in NFL circles, is there any talk of expansion?
Not that I've heard, but again, I think the expansion goes back to what Gabe said, which is the schedule, the 18-game schedule. Like that's the expansion of the schedule,
well, and
which would tax more people.
And going overseas, right, Adam? Like we are going to see an increase of the number of games that are played overseas as they continue to try to expand that footprint.
We're seeing more international games played this season than we've ever seen in a season. I think it's six this year. I see that number increasing, not decreasing, over time.
So putting a team in London has kind of been put to bed.
Well, I don't want to say it's put to bed, Chewy. Like, I think those things are out there. I don't think they're pressing or imminent.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually we could get to a spot, a time, where that does happen. It just doesn't seem to be close to happening right now. Now, again, I think the league is always looking for ways to grow revenue. And if it leads to expansion, international expansion, then the league will move in that direction. I'm sure there have been conversations, but there's nothing on the front burner, to my knowledge, about that.
All right, I've waited long enough. Tell me everything. Tell me everything about last week in the
question.
Travelers
good,
Championship.
Good.
Tell me everything. You got to walk with Rory McIlroy, the eventual winner, and Keegan Bradley, who won in thrilling fashion. I saw the pictures of you and Rory, got to catch a little bit of the action. You were fantastic. Tell me everything that you can about the Travelers Championship.
I actually wholeheartedly endorse this. I would love to hear. I would love to hear about how that experience was for you, Adam.
Well, Jen, I always say that anytime I'm allowed to step out of my NFL bubble that I've been in for 35 years, I find it to be refreshing and invigorating, like anybody, right? Like anybody who goes to do something different, I think you always find it stimulating. And so I once was allowed to do NBA sideline reporting, loved it, you know, would love to do more of it. Golf came up, PGA Tour Live called in conjunction with ESPN Plus. They said to me, hey, you want to do a couple of tournaments? And they asked me initially to do the Truist in Philadelphia, which was a week or two after the draft. I'm like, I would love to, but I honestly need to, I just got back from a week in Wisconsin, the whole season travel. Like I'm tired. I need a little break. So we agreed to do the Travelers. And last Tuesday I got assigned Keegan Bradley and Rory McIlroy. Now you couldn't draw a better pairing. And I basically walked in the shadows of Robert Dameron the entire time. And he's a veteran at this particular job. I'm not. And I just was very concerned about stepping out of the way. But when we pulled up to the course, the first guy I see is Rory McIlroy walking into the club. I go, hey, Rory, stuck with me for the day. Appreciate you having me along for the ride. He just kind of shakes his head, all serious, right? Like locked in. Okay, I go to the putting green. I'm standing around there. Met a caddy from Green Bay. Joe Etter, the caddy for Davis Thompson, had a long conversation with him on the putting green. That was awesome. Had Ludwig Oberg's caddy, Joe, what's his last name?
Oh, Joe. No. No, it's not. No, Joe Griner's on a different bag. Joe Skovrin. Joe Skovrin.
Yes. Joe Skovrin came over. Like, what are you doing here? Tom Hoagie came over to talk to me for a little bit of time. Met Tom Hoagie's physiologist, who lives on Long Island, like myself. And then we were out by the driving range. We were working with Keegan, came over, and I introduced myself before we went out. Very nice. The great part was we're following them the whole round. We get done, and afterwards they're like, you're going to go interview Keegan one-on-one. Great. So I interviewed Keegan for a few minutes, and then he stuck around, and we talked for like 10 minutes after, just me and him. Awesome. Love the guy, right? We traded cell phone numbers. He's a huge Patriot fan. And then Rory, I went to thank him for allowing me to tag along. And we spoke for about 10 minutes. And I told him, hey, I got to tell you something. That Masters thing, I know you've heard this a million times, but I just got to tell you, one of the great golf tournaments you could ever watch, one of the great thrills, awesome. Like, hope you always remember it. Thank you for a thrilling week. Oh, thank you, thank you. And we got talking about a couple of other things. The press, the media, dealing with the media. And it was a really interesting conversation and really enjoyed it. He and I did not exchange cell numbers. but I really enjoyed it. He could not have been more gracious and kind. And it was, I don't know what to say, Gabe. It was an unbelievable day stepping outside your comfort zone and love going inside the ropes. Love being with these golfers who are so incredible at what they do. And we'll see if I wind up doing more of it in the future.
So you got to talk to Keegan. He ends up winning the tournament. Keegan's also the Ryder Cup captain later this year. Do you think he can be the Ryder Cup captain and a player? Because right now, undoubtedly, he deserves to be on that team as a player.
I don't know why he couldn't. And by the way, like with the good karma and mojo that I brought him, I don't know why he wouldn't bring me out on that Thursday as the sideline reporter again to follow him along.
Like, yeah.
I don't know why he wouldn't do that.
I agree. Right? I agree.
Yeah. Me too. I'm awaiting his text to see if he's going to invite me out, see if I want to follow along that Thursday. I mean, by the way, it's not far from my house, so I can be out there, you know, make him comfortable, cheer on USA, and go Captain Keegan, all that stuff like that.
Gabe just wants to be your spotter. That's it.
Yeah, if you've got an extra spot, you know, I'm just saying, like, if you need an intern, Adam, just let me know. Like, I'm there for you,
pal. Have you ever met Keegan or Rory?
I have never met Keegan or Rory, no.
Yeah. It was a great day. It was pretty cool. Like, you know, you did that. I did that on Thursday all day. Loved it. And then Friday I went to Fanatics Fest in New York City to interview Robert Kraft, which, you know, again, I've known Mr. Kraft for a long time, and Chris Webber. So it was like, that was when I brought Dylan and she got the chance to talk to Tom Brady. So it's 2 days like that back to back that are just very different than things that I ordinarily would do. And, so it was very, very cool.
Wait, so you call Robert Kraft Mr. Kraft. What's the criteria for that? Is it somebody that's
No,
old?
Actually, I call him RKK, and he insists that most people call him RKK. And in fact, I said to him before, I'm like, hey, we're going on the stage in front of a group of people here. You want me to call you Mr. Kraft? RKK. You got it. RKK. So RKK is what he goes by. And I explained that to the audience on the podcast.
Yeah, it's hard for me to like break out of some of those formalities. I work with Nick Saban. I always call him Coach, and he's like, Nick.
Right.
And I'm like, sure, Coach. Like, it's very challenging for me to call Nick Saban Nick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
see it. Yeah.
What do most people on the set call him there, Jen?
Well, at his request, Nick. Like, that's what he would prefer.
Yeah, he wasn't your coach.
No, I know, but it's a point of reference. Like, or I'm sorry, reverence, rather. Like, I always feel like if somebody has earned the distinction of coach, you call him coach. Same with doctor.
Yeah.
Like Chewy.
Yeah, well, I had always called Mr. Kraft Mr. Kraft, but he's adamant that he be called RKK.
Well, then you do what he says, man. All right, Adam, exactly. We appreciate you being on the show with us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
Didn't even get to ask Adam Schefter about our guy Aaron Rodgers, but we will certainly talk about that as the show rolls on. Stick around.
The Island Resort and Casino is a premier resort destination, and they bring us our conversation with Adam Schefter each and every week. It's the largest resort north of Milwaukee with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for
the birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
birthday.
It's
so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We spoke a little bit earlier about some of the prop bets that you can make at Pottawatomie Sportsbook on Ms. V. Skeens today. Well, Pottawatomie also has the Boundless Bounty going on this June. It's a treasure worth $300,000 in cash and prizes, and you just got to play your favorite slots. There are 40 winners each Thursday. That, of course, includes this Thursday, and the $300,000 Boundless Bounty happening this month. Do not miss it. There is more information available on the Pottawatomie website, which is pottawatomie.com. You must be 21 years old to play and a rewards member to participate. Want to get to Aaron Rodgers in the second hour of the show, because Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday basically telling us, guys, this is it. This season is going to be your last chance. Catch Aaron Rodgers under center in the NFL. And one single solitary tear rolls down my cheek. So Aaron Rodgers also telling us too, and I know this will come as no surprise to you, that he doesn't necessarily like media attention. He doesn't need people to pay attention to what he is doing. Which sort of flies directly in the face of announcing a retirement tour, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't really. I mean, I try to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he makes it so difficult, right? If you want to keep everything private, stop doing McAfee. Stop talking about things, you know? Just do your job when it comes to the media and fade away. Now, he did say that he is going to disappear once he's done playing. I don't think anyone believes that. I think his problem is he's so bothered by people that hate him, and he can't stop looking. He can't let it go. Who cares, Aaron? Who cares? You play in stadiums that 90,000 people hate you. Doesn't affect you, or it hasn't affected you really in the past. Treat it like that. Who cares? Twitter's rotten for the most part. Well, not for the most part.
No, it's for the most part. 95%.
It's rotten?
Oh, it's terrible.
So don't look at it.
It's more rotten, actually.
Yeah, who cares?
So it's interesting that you say that, because that has always been a prime part of Aaron Rodgers' success, is the chip on the shoulder and proving people wrong. And he even mentioned it yesterday on McAfee when McAfee was asking him about Tyrese Halliburton's recovery, right? They made the parallel with the Achilles injuries that Aaron certainly suffered and now Tyrese is dealing with. And Rodgers' first reaction was, well, use the motivation of all those things they say you can't do. It's baked in the cake, man. Like, I don't think he can get away from it.
Where does participating in a documentary while you're still playing about you fall into I don't want media attention? Where does that fall? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I know.
When you're just a willing participant in a documentary called Aaron Rodgers Enigma.
Somewhere between hypocritical and a complete fraud.
Okay.
And we need to find what that is.
We need to find that word. Whatever it is.
It's kind of like me with stupid.
There's a sweet spot. Yeah. We haven't nailed it yet, but that sweet spot certainly exists. I'm with you, Chu. I've gotten to the point where I want to give Rodgers the benefit of the doubt. I genuinely hope that he is happy and fulfilled, that what he has done on the football field has given him whatever it is he's been searching for, it seems like, for most of his life. And he seems to be making the case that it is, and that he is happy in his relationship, that it, you know, he is married and on all of these things. But to your point then, stop hammering the point of it's everyone else's fault. Everyone else, you know, the whole thing with the marriage, I agree. If your wife wants to stay out of the public eye and you are doing this and you are making that a priority, I think there are things you could have done that would have certainly not sparked curiosity, certainly wouldn't have made people go, wait, Aaron Rodgers is married? Like, some of it is just genuine curiosity. Some of it is like, well, who's his wife? Well, no, you can't know that. Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is weird. You know, like, and again, if that is their preference, if that is they're making that a priority, fine. But Homer brought up the point, then don't wear a wedding ring. And again, I'm torn on whether or not I think that that is a strong point by Homer or I think it's an insane point by Homer. Because if genuinely Rodgers is prioritizing his wife's desire to be anonymous, to not be known by the public, you know what makes that a whole hell of a lot easier? Is not wearing a ring that designates that there is now a significant other to wonder about.
That might not be his choice, though.
It could be hers.
That's what I'm saying. For example.
Yeah.
So my one of my best friends does not wear, I mean, him and his wife have been happily married for over 10 years now. He does not wear a wedding ring like his dad never did. So he never felt like he had to. So my wife, before my wife and I got married, we were sitting with them and his wife asked, oh, Gabe, are you going to wear a wedding band? Because, you know, my husband doesn't. Would you wear a wedding band? Before I even had a chance to breathe to answer, yeah, I'm going to wear one. My wife said, yeah, he's going to have one.
But his
so
problem.
That might not be Aaron's choice, in fairness to Aaron.
His problem is this, okay? It's okay in sports to have the mentality of me against the world as a motivator. We all did it. I did it. You know, you go into a hostile environment. All right, it's just us 53 against. That's fine. But if you move that over to life and it's me against the world, dude, you're going to implode. You're never going to be happy if his transition is, all right, I'm no longer playing sports, but it's me against the world now. Ain't a good thing. Dude, stop reading press clippings or whatever it is, all the negativity. It's going to implode you. Who cares?
Still super pumped to see him play this year, though.
Yeah.
Still super, I'm super jacked.
Are you ready? You versus ketchup?
I am ready. Yes. I'm confident.
I like that.
Okay.
It'll go a long way. Chewy v. Ketchup coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.